Where do you stand as a leader? Are there things you would change about your business or organization? Welcome to What's Leadership Got to Do with It with your host, Rick Thiemann. Together, we'll explore the five dynamics that exist in every workplace, as well as answer some of your leadership questions. Now, here's your host, Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome to the show. You're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do with It. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, and I welcome my listeners to this 15th and final show called Finish. And in the grand scheme of the great world of sports, we're going to talk about finishing today. Finish what you started. But the premise of the book and the premise of the show over the last 15 weeks and the premise of the book that's about ready to be released is really engrossed in its title, What's Leadership Got to Do with It? And the book is not about, and the show has not been about leadership per se, but it's about what leadership has got to pay attention to and what's been evolving in the world of leadership. We did do two shows of these, of the 15 shows that we've done here. We did do two of them on leadership. One was about developing leaders from within, about how you take an individual and you move them through the organization. And the other was about the six fundamental components that go into a successful leadership program and what drives that. But the What's Leadership Got to Do with It as a premise is about paying attention to certain things that allow you that the ability to finish. And in the world of finishing, so many companies start great things and have great ideas only to be left undone or unfinished, to be savored in the archives of the Flavor of the Month Club or the Idea of the Month Club. But my discussion today is about moving things and having things in place that allows you to be able to finish. At the end of the game, you wind up winning. But finishing as a means of to a sports analogy, there's I think it's a book, The Best Laid Plans of Mice and Men, or maybe it's a quote, but in the world of sports, games are not won unless you finish. And the perfect golf game or the perfect play or the no-hitter or the undefeated season, as the Packers didn't materialize this year, are all contingent about how well you finish and having a game plan to finish and the tenacity to finish. A field goal will put points on the board, but a touchdown caps a finishing drive. And learning how to finish is central to success. So in the world of, or in the grand scheme of, Larry the Cable Guy and his famed statement, get her done, this is about getting it done and how you then go about taking ideas and concepts and what needs to happen in the world of leadership and in the world of running your business to make it successful is what this show is about. And in the last 40 years, in my world around, in my activities around the business world, I've owned three companies. I've been president of a $75 million company with 20 branches across a number of states. I've worked in corporate America in international roles as an international business development manager, and I spent the last 20 years consulting, and I've seen a ton of interesting things in my business endeavors, in the companies I've worked for, in the companies I've consulted with, and the book and the show and the consulting practices is all encapsulated in the tagline, Linking Human Capital with Strategic Intent. And one of the things I came across in one of the books I read, and I believe it was in the book called Execution by Bossidy. In the year 2000, 40 CEOs of the top 200 companies on the Fortune 500 list were removed. Now, that doesn't mean they were asked to retire. They were fired or made to resign. So what does it say when 20% of the most powerful leading companies in our country lose their job? If that's the case, something's wrong. And we did two shows on the Hope is Not a Business Plan and around strategy. And in that show, we talked about some of the deals gone bad. And I'm going to review those real quick because I think they serve as a great premise or a great foundation for discussions around why things don't get done and where we're headed with this particular show. But years ago, Novell acquired WordPerfect. Some people may know who remember WordPerfect, but Novell acquired WordPerfect for $855 million. They subsequently sold it to Novell, or Novell subsequently sold that to Corel for $115 million. What a significant loss! In 1989, Sony acquired Columbia Pictures for somewhere around $5 billion, and the next 5 years unloaded that for $3.2 billion, or had a $3.2 billion loss in the next 5 years, I should say. Quaker Oats in 1994 bought Snapple for $1.7 billion, and its failure within 3 years unloaded it for $350 million to Treyarch Beverages, which then later they sold that to Cadbury Schweppes for $1 billion. So, go figure. News Corp in 2005 bought MySpace for $580 million, and by 2009 sold it to Specific Media for $35 million. Mercedes-Benz in 1998 bought Chrysler for $40 billion, and after 10 years of bleeding money, sold to Capital Management for $6 billion. And the list goes on. There's the AT&T NCR debacle. There's the eBay Skype acquisition. There's the AOL Time Warner acquisition. And so why is it that so many of these things just don't seem to hold up? And why is it so many executives lose their jobs? And it's proven that more executives lose their jobs not because of lack of competency, but just a lack of perhaps incompetence in many things. But a number of years ago, I spoke at a mergers and acquisition conference, and some research I had done was really interesting and telling as well that speaks to this whole thing about finishing and getting it done. And that is, according to the FTC, about 60% of all merger activity is never publicized and consists of transactions $1 million or less that nobody tracks. In a study by McKinsey & Company, a study of acquisitions shows that 61% of acquisitions fail. And the determining concept was, it's determined that earnings were not sufficient return on capital based on funds invested, was how they classified that. Well, further studies by the Boston Consulting Group showed that out of 537 companies having at least one acquisition in the last 5 years, less than 40% were successful, and they described that as somewhat, or less than 40% described those efforts as somewhat successful and unsuccessful. And the hit list goes on. Well, in one other example, Tenneco bought Houston Oil and Gas, and in its debacle, 34% of management of Houston Oil left. 25% of its exploration staff left, and 90% of its production staff left. Well, with those kind of things that kind of stare you in the face, if you will, at really looking at why situations don't work and why situations fail, there's a number of things that emerge that of all the research and study that shows why some of these things don't materialize. And the leading cause of what they call merger drip or where mergers didn't work. But it's also, you can tie that to when you see businesses fail and go awry. The things that came out in some of the analysis by Boston Consulting Group and McKinsey and some of those famed consulting groups, that management was not as strong as anticipated in the acquired company. That pre-acquisition review was inadequate or even inaccurate in many cases. That systems were not well developed and well defined. That integration planning was inadequate, and that new strategic plan was needed, and the flight of key management. Those things are part and parcel to some of the things that we've talked about throughout the 14 previous shows that we've done. And when we look at what it takes to really drive business, those leading causes of management not being strong, systems not in place, planning not adequate, reviews inaccurate or inadequate, key people leaving, those things really then create the demise of the organization. And so without good, strong people and a good, strong plan and a vision and a methodology that gets it done, or in Larry's case, get her done, how do you make sure then that your organization is moving forward? And one of our most recent clients in working with them wanted to do strategic planning and wanted to do it in November, this past November. Yet they had hired an up-and-coming sales manager to replace the VP of sales that was going to be challenged with growing the company. They'd hired a production manager, but neither one of those individuals, the production manager, didn't work. They had let him go, and they're not convinced that the sales manager is going to make it. So when you look at then getting it done in your strategic planning piece and you don't have the people, let alone some of the process or procedures or things that are emerging, on top of that, other things evolved in the way, and that six product launches between September and the end of the year, moving the plant by next April of 2012, limits your ability to really be effective in strategic planning, and that's a case where perhaps more of a synchronization meeting is important than a strategic planning meeting. And it's understanding where you're at in your business cycle and your business model that really speaks to that. So as we've spoken in some of the sessions we've done, and we look at certain aspects of the business world, one of the things that's critical is there a vision for the company? And without vision, unless there's a common cause for people to rally around, most people are going to just wander around. So understanding that vision is a key driver to success, to getting it done, is crucial. And when you look at vision, some people have great vision, some people don't have very good vision. And in 1960, in the 1961, 62 area, you know, JFK's vision was, we will put a man on the moon and return him home safely by the end of the century, was his vision as in the early 60s. And that vision was achieved in the late 60s. And I think too many companies tend to go in too many directions at once. I think too many companies really don't have a strong vision. Too many companies I've worked with and seen don't have a strong business model or understand what their business model is. So we're going to get ready to take our first break, and as we come back from that, I want to get into more of a vision and business model and life cycle. But you're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, on the Voice America Business Channel. If you've got any questions, call me at 866-472-5790 or email me at rick@thieg.com. I'll be glad to answer your questions. We'll see you back after the break.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com.
Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time for The Growth Strategist with Aldana Ambler. On the show, Aldana and some of today's top business professionals will discuss some of today's most pressing business issues that hold you, the business owner, back. Aldana will also give you 21 ways to grow with her list of growth strategies. Grow smart, grow profit, and grow your business with Aldana Ambler and The Growth Strategist every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific time. Right here on the Bottom Line in Business Talk, Voice America Business.
For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com.
When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network.
You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. Do you have a question or comment about today's program? Please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back to the show. We're talking about, or I'm talking about, finishing and how to make sure that your program and process is in place to help you allow yourself to succeed and finish with a bang, so to speak. But before the break, I was talking about vision and how some companies don't have vision and some people do. And when you think about visionaries and people with visions, you know, Thomas Watson was the chairman of the board of IBM, who said that there's probably a world market for about five computers. And so when you talk about vision and you look at JFK's vision, you know, what's that vision really look like? So the next thing that has to go beyond your vision is you got to understand your business model and your competitive differentiation and what you, and who you're trying to be. And the greatest example of that we talked about in the leadership class or leadership show that we did, but we talked about Porter's competitive differentiation model, in that you've got three basic kinds of things that you can go after. And when you look at Apple as the leader in product innovation, or you look at Nordstrom in terms of the leader in customer service and loyalty, or you look at Walmart as the leader in cost effectiveness and operating effectiveness, or cost efficiencies and operating effectiveness, you know, what is your business model? What are you going after? And in Porter's discussions on his competitive differentiation, he suggests, and it's probably worth exploring, and that is that it's tough to be all three. You might be able to be two of them, but to be all three of them is really unrealistic, because you wind up setting yourself up for failure because you're spread across too many domains. And one of the examples was back in 1973, and this goes way back, but at the time there was a Pitney Bowes and a company called Adressograph, and both had similar revenues and similar profits, similar employees, similar stock charts. Both of them had near a monopoly in their given markets. But by 2000, Pitney Bowes had grown to 30,000 employees and $4 billion in sales, and Adressograph had only grown to 670 employees and $100 million in sales. And the difference was Roy Ashe, the CEO, was brought in from Litton to run Adressograph, and through his acquisition strategy, he managed at Litton, tried to do the same thing with Adressograph, and it backfired drastically. So when you look at some of the things I mentioned in the first part of the show, and that is why in 2000, it would be interesting to see what if you move that along through the other years, but why in 2000 were 20% or 40 of the major CEOs of 200 of the Fortune 500 companies, why were they fired, and what happened? And it has to do with not having a strong enough business strategy and other things that we're talking about in this particular show that limit your ability to get it done. One of those things could even be understanding your ability as it stems to your life cycle of your product or your line extension. But beyond that then, and we'll get to that in a few minutes, but I think the single biggest thing that from what my organization focuses on, and that is helping organizations get the right people in the right seats on the bus. And in Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, he speaks a lot about those concepts. Other concepts he talks about, but interestingly enough, in Jim Collins' book, Good to Great, I understand there's a sequel coming out to that book. I don't know what the title is or if it's been released or about to be released, but rumor has it that that book needs to be updated because some of the companies he touted as Good to Great are no longer Good to Great. Some are gone, Circuit City being one of them. So he's having to go back and reevaluate. So what went wrong? Well, in the writing of the book that's What's Leadership Got to Do with It, there's five fundamental concepts, or what I call the fundamental five, that I think are critical component pieces to developing a successful business that tie into what this show talks about, and that's about finishing. But the book outlines five chapters, and chapter number one is about corporate culture, which is central to an organization's vision and central to the organization of who the organization is and how people learn to support what the organization is trying to accomplish, but the culture kind of sets the tone. The second chapter has to do with individual contributors, which I'm going to speak to next, but individual contributors are about getting the right people on the bus and in the right seats. The third chapter has to do with the group dynamics, and that is how well do the groups interplay with one another? How well does operations play with marketing and or sales with marketing? And I can tell you that when I was the International Business Development Manager and my job was to develop the Japanese and Korean marketplace in the 80s in the automotive sector, the engineering folks that I had to deal with who were used to dealing with Ford and General Motors and Chrysler, now I was having them try to learn how to deal with Mazda and Nissan and Toyota and Honda and Mitsubishi and Subaru, and trying to get to understand how to manage in the culture of the Japanese way was a debacle. The language was a barrier. The culture was a barrier. The corporate culture of the American company I worked with, and so those things get in the way. But where So, but beyond culture is the operating, is the operating groups and the operating units. So chapter three of the book speaks to the lack of continuity among groups to work together for a successful outcome. Chapter four speaks to hope is not a business plan, and that is you've got to have a strong business plan and understand what your business model is so people recognize what the objective are and what the mission is. And chapter five then speaks to its corporate structure, that without a strong structure, you can choke the life out of an organization if your structure is not in place and if your goals collide. And I'm going to talk about that later in the show on goals that collide or your business fundamentals. But right now, the piece is that to really make sure that your organization is going to grow, you cannot ignore the fact that the human capital aspect is the most critical component of business success, because without good people, you can't execute. So in the context then of driving that, you're never going to fulfill the potential of your business if you don't get the people process right. Well, evaluating your people process helps evaluate individuals accurately and in depth and what their competency levels really are. It also provides a framework for identifying and developing leadership talent that the organization needs to grow its and execute its strategy. It's also going to help you fill the leadership pipeline to help you have that strong succession plan. So back to Bossy's book that I mentioned earlier, Bossy's book called Execution, his discussion on what he calls building block number three is that no leader should delegate having the right people in the right place. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. He's got that as building block number three. I think it needs to be further up in the chain, but nonetheless, understanding that having the right people to execute is critical. And as an example, I was brought in on an intervention with a company that played in the automotive and the heavy-duty truck sector, little over, not just shy of $2 billion in total sales. Most of the operating unit in terms of its manufacturing came out of Mexico. And over 40% of the production came from Mexico. And I was brought in to work with the vice president of operations for that oversaw two plants. Both plants were 24/7. Both plants were based in Mexico, about 20 miles apart. And this executive, within the first 4 months, seemed to be doing a great job in being brought in, and over the next 12 months, when I was brought in to evaluate the situation, had lost $1 million to the bottom line and lost efficiencies. And upon further assessment and evaluation, was deemed that this executive truly was in over their head. In another specific case, this was a company in the automotive sector. This was a Japanese-owned company, again in the automotive sector. This is a little over $1 billion company. The U.S. operating division was $600 million. And the president of the U.S. operating division is an individual I work with in terms of doing a 360, some leadership assessment, going to Japan, interviewing the owner, his peers, and people that interface with him in Japan, coming back and providing feedback back to him on where his gap analysis was, and working with him in terms of where the organizational gaps were and what he was trying to operate in terms of him trying to operate a matrix organization in a Japanese culture just didn't work. But nonetheless, in the things that I tried to help him understand and work around or work through, he refused to listen and refused to engage in that and accept what was brought back from information from Japan, from the interviews and things that I did. And within about 6 or 7 months, he was actually demoted. Within a year and a half, he'd found another job and had moved on. But it speaks back to at the beginning of the show where I talked about leadership and having the right people in place and having the right people on the bus in the right seats. And there's many, many cases and situations where not having the right people in the right spots are critical. Yet I can also speak, though, to people that have been very successful. An individual I work with who was at he's been through four different companies and now is vice president and general manager of an extremely large steel manufacturing company, oversees three plants, and have watched his progression. And he's just a phenomenal leader with all the great skill sets, and will probably exceed and do more and probably become president somewhere along the line with another organization. But when you look at then Sharon's work, which Sharon co-authored The Execution Book by Bossidy. And Sharon also co-authored a book called The Leadership Pipeline, which talks about the passages of leadership and why leaders don't tend to succeed. Well, beyond why leadership doesn't tend to succeed, it goes beyond that, and it gets into the execution of getting things done and really understanding the business at hand and the things that need to go into business besides having the right people in place, besides having the vision, besides having a strong business model. Those don't necessarily guarantee your success, if you will, in terms of what you need to do to look forward. So as we look at then at getting into the world of executing your strategy and planning and synchronization and debrief and those component pieces that are the backbone of the follow-up side, the execution side, the operation side of the business, without strong operational effectiveness and without a strong process and program to help drive that, then results are probably going to not be as robust or as successful as you may like them. So as we move toward the next half of the show, I'm going to get into things around the planning process and some things that are necessary around understanding how to take your business to the next level. So you're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann. If you've got any questions, email me at rick@thieg.com. Be glad to respond. You can also check us out on the web on www.theeg.com. And you can download all the previous shows that we've done, which covers the elements of the book in more depth. And we look forward to having you back after the break.
From the boardroom to you, Voice America Business Network.
For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com.
No family can survive on two incomes anymore, let alone one. If you are supplementing your family's income working from home, then tune into The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio. Host Deb Bixler brings you sales tips, lead generation systems, and best business practices that guarantee direct sales success. Whether you're looking for a little extra cash or a career change, The Cash Flow Show, Direct Sales Radio will give you proven systems that will work in your home business. The Cash Flow Show. Show every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Business Channel.
Voice America Business Network, the bottom line in business.
You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back to the show, What's Leadership Got to Do With It? Today we're talking about finishing and what kind of goes into the elements of a business to be a strong, successful business. I think that another thing I've seen in the years of working for companies, having my own and consulting, I think too many companies try to work on too many fronts. I think that some of the things they try to get their arms around are too loosely defined. And I don't see where there's enough accountability or consequences for things when we're not paying attention to the details. But as we get back to the vision piece and the strategy piece, to really have that in place, what's the strategy? And in evaluating your strategy, before you really get your strategy in place, you really need to audit where you're at. And I'll give you one just real simple example. This is a company that was worked with years ago that was having trouble getting over $20 million in sales, and for four consecutive years had been right at $19,500,000, $19,800,000, $19,600,000, but never could get over $20 million in sales. And so one of the things that I looked at was customer turnover. And I went back and audited from 92 to 96. And what I found in 92, that they had 248 customers on the books in 1992. And in 1996, they had 253 customers on the books. And what was interesting was only 78 customers were remaining from the original 248 in 92. Now, this company had 19 salespeople, and they brought in an average of 100 new companies per year. But there was 100 old companies that left every year that never came back. And so when you look at, before you really start to drive your business, you got to audit what's going on and make sure that you're not just doing the same thing over and over again. And you've got to have a way to monitor that effectively. Well, in the world of strategy, there's what's called the fishbone diagram. And if you've not heard of it, it's really referred to as the Ishikawa diagram. But it really focuses on four basic fundamentals. It's called the four M's. It's manpower, material, methods, and machinery. So if I'm going to really audit my business before I really look at how I'm going to grow my business, I got to audit my business. And if I don't audit it well and audit the things that aren't working well and understand how to create strategies around that, the odds of me being successful become diminished. So if I'm playing on too many fronts, or I'm too loosely defined, or I've got no accountability and I've got no strong strategy, it's going to be hard-pressed. And this is probably more typical of privately held, individually owned companies than it is of corporate America, especially Fortune 500 companies where there's a much more stringent business model in place. But nonetheless, these things still exist. And by example, why did Circus City go out of business? And you can look at a number of organizations that were large organizations that wound up burying themselves. Or you look at Enron, or you look at the Tyco debacle, which was purely leadership issues around those. But if I don't have a strong strategy in place and I haven't really audited my business on where I'm at, I'm going to have a hard time because I'm liable to wind up doing the same thing. Now, as I move to that, though, as I understand my business and where my business is going, another thing I've got to understand is the life cycle of my products and what type of business am I going to have and emulate. So, if, as an example, when I talk about life cycle of product, movies have a distinct sales pattern. And in the movie industry in Hollywood, it's a pretty much understood that your first indicator of whether or not a movie is going to be successful is your weekend gross of its opening weekend. And the critical benchmark is $40 million. Anything under that is suspect. Anything over that tells you probably got a hot idea and a movie's probably going to be profitable. Well, the next benchmark is the second week. And grosses almost always decline in the second week. But how good are the movie's legs? So what they look for is that first 2 weeks tells the story. If the grosses decline in the second week under 20%, the movie's considered a hot movie, and it's now time to push up releases. So there's certain strategies that you've got to understand that are part of your business model. Or do you need to have more line extensions like Coke? Coke's got Diet Coke and Lime Coke and Vanilla Coke and Cherry Coke and C2 Coke and Zero and Net Zero and who knows what else they have. But so what's your business model consist of? And as you look at that then and you start to evaluate, the single biggest thing that I think businesses fail to look at is the SWOT analysis. And it's just a simple metric. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are the opportunities and what are the threats? And as you look at that, you've got to understand that a SWOT analysis has both internal and external aspects. And you've got to look at those internal and external aspects to make sure that you're not missing something. Well, typically this is done in high-level review meetings, and very, very rarely is it done at the employee level. This is one of the things that makes Kaizen events and manufacturing facilities advantageous because it gets people involved. And I don't think enough involvement is made with people in organizations. Too much decision-making comes from the top, and it's not communicated as it goes down the organization. But as you look at your SWOT analysis and you start to evaluate your business model, out of that SWOT analysis comes specific things that that comprise your strengths and how you're going to leverage those strengths, weaknesses that you need to shore up, and understanding where things get in the way. Well, in another classic example of auditing the business, one of the clients I work with, this was the Japanese company I referred to in the automotive sector, one of the things was is that they were having a hard time, the aftermarket was having a hard time being able to get correct information from the plants on costing to be able to bill effectively and to set pricing in the aftermarket. And it was just going nowhere. So I asked the people in the aftermarket department, I said, when was the last time we sat down with the manufacturing facility, production facility, and went through some of the issues and did a SWOT analysis to find out what we could uncover? They'd never done that. So we sat down and we did the SWOT analysis, we audited the state of the business, and guess what we found? We found that the bill of materials had not been updated in over 5 years, and all the bill of materials were wrong. So they put together a task force to update and get current on all the bill of materials, and the problem went away. So unless we really audit the business and we start to use a SWOT analysis and we start to understand what it is we need to have in place and look at the business fundamentals and why things aren't working, we can get a better handle on how we know to start to grow the business in a more effective fashion and perhaps even a quicker fashion. But from there, then, you've got to have specific operating rules. And if we don't have specific operating rules and we don't have specific measurements in place, we're not going to go anywhere with that information. So what I mean by operating rules is you've got to have a fundamental business plan. That's your daily work document. And those things have to be synchronized in terms of where you go with that. And without strong operating rules and strong operating principles, you wind up then questioning where things are at from time to time. Well, then you've got to have a long-range plan. What that company's vision looks like, where you're going to be in 3 to 5 years, and where you're going to head down the road, and how that growth is going to come, and where it's going to come from. And then you've got an annual plan. What do you expect to have for the annual plan? But then beyond the annual plan, you've got to have periodic review. And I think that we'll get into this in the last part of the show, but that periodic review is critical to understanding where we're at on a day-to-day basis. And so, the use of Gantt charts and PERT charts and project management pieces are critical for that success as you get into the execution phase of the vision. And it's the execution. It's not that the vision is flawed. Sometimes it is. It's not that the vision is necessarily flawed. It's more often than not the execution that's flawed. And having to change your game plan at the last minute because something's not working or because you didn't anticipate something or because the market changed or because you know, some crazy maniac flew 2 planes into the World Trade Center, or because unemployment just is now at, you know, 12%. You start to change things, and you start to get out of sync with what you need to do with your business. So without strong operating rules, it's hard then to manage the business and keep it all under control because you start losing control. And when you work across too many fronts, it makes it harder to control and harder to understand what's next and what's the most important because you become diffused in your results. I gave the example of when I was director of sales and marketing for an organization, and the owner approached me and he said, we're going to purchase a company out of Grand Rapids. And I said, oh, who is it? And he told me who it was. And it was a company that was twice our size. They were in bankruptcy. And I said, I think this is a bad move because I think all the management's going to have left. I think we're going to have inventory problems. I think we're going to have cash flow problems. I said, we don't have enough manpower to really be effective in leading our own organization, let alone taking the organization to the next level we needed to go to. And we didn't audit as well as what I wanted to. And within a year's time, we were in cash flow problems. We couldn't pay our bills. We'd lost some key management. We'd lost some key customers. And I left. The operations manager left. The controller left. And the owner finally sold that acquisition off. Just to get back to where it was and went back to his original business. But nonetheless, it's not having a strong operating plan and understanding how you tie in those budgets. Well, the next piece then has to be managing things and measuring things. And there's the old adage that you can't manage what you can't measure. And what you can't measure, you can't see. And what you can't measure, if you don't know what you're looking for. So what doesn't get measured doesn't get managed is the key component here. Well, measurements then, another thing I've seen, and this gets back to you know, are your business fundamentals under control? I think so many organizations don't have their business fundamentals under control. For example, does every thing you're managing, does it have a counterbalance? And in your process improvement measures, let's just say that you had, you were identifying the number of product shipments that could be achieved by shipping, you know, your shipment days. So how does that get offset with bad units and the number of rejects? So if you're not measuring rejects in conjunction with number of shipments, you don't get a really true handle. Or in another example, let's just say that hot dog efficiencies is your efficiencies, and that's your number one driver of hot dog efficiencies. And that efficiency is driven by the ratio of how many are sold versus how many are thrown away. Now, let's say you've got very strict standards on how long a hot dog can sit under a heat lamp before it's thrown away. Well, the more hot dogs I make, the more hot dogs I have to throw away, the less my hot dog efficiencies come into play. Well, let's say my bonuses are based on hot dog efficiencies. So what happens is I'm not going to cook as many hot dogs. So now when lunchtime happens because I don't want to throw hot dogs away and I get an influx of customers and they got to stand around waiting for a hot dog, how long do you think they're going to stand waiting for that hot dog? They're not. They're going to move on. So we're not measuring lost sales. We're not measuring number of customers who came in, number of customers who left. We're not necessarily measuring the right things. So if our measurement system isn't in place, we get conflicting measurements. So if I'm the purchasing manager, my job is to reduce vendor costs by 5%, and my manufacturing partner's got to increase shipments or reduce scrap, then the two goals are in conflict because my desire to move that vendor to create a 5% cost reduction might cause me to get rid of one vendor and get another one. And the new vendor that I get doesn't have the quality standards, and we wind up getting bad shipments and bad product, or can't get product on time, and guess what happens to our efficiencies then? Well, we're not aligned in terms of how we tend to work then within the business. So if we're not really aligned on our measurement system and that's not in place, that's another drawback for our inability to be able to succeed successfully and get it done and finish. So we're going to take our last break. You're listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann, and we'll catch you after the break.
The business community's first choice in Internet Talk Radio, Voice America Business Network.
If you currently or aspire to serve on a board or work in a leadership capacity for or with a public or nonprofit organization, where can you turn to get the best advice and practices? How about Leadership Matters with Dr. G? Our program discusses challenges facing both public and nonprofit leaders. Don't miss these practical solutions and tips to enhance your leadership style and effectiveness. Leadership Matters with Dr. G airs live Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Business Channel. For the past 20 years, the Executive Group has helped organizations recruit, select, train, develop, and coach their most valuable asset, their people. Whether entry-level or top leadership, the Executive Group uses a variety of tools considered to be the gold standard in assessments and development to provide insight and direction to help our clients show the greatest return on their most valuable investment. For more information on how the Executive Group can help you link strategic intent with human capital, visit our website at www.theeg.com. 20 years of research shows us that 20 to 25% of an organization's sales force is underwater. A salesperson selling at 75% of quota is costing you at least $5,000, including opportunity costs. Our program, Developing Sales Force Effectiveness, shows you how to manage these underperformers more effectively. Improving the sales effectiveness of just two salespeople will give you a 100% return on investment. For more information, visit the Executive Group website at www.theeg.com. When it comes to business, you'll find the experts here. Voice America Business Network. You are listening to What's Leadership Got to Do With It, featuring your host, Rick Thiemann. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. Or send an email to assessment@theeg.com. Now, Back to Rick Thiemann.
Hey, welcome back to What's Leadership Got to Do With It. I'm Rick Thiemann, your host, and you can follow me on the web at www.theeg.com and download the previous shows. Those shows were on, we did shows on culture, we did shows on individual contributors, we did shows on leadership, we did two shows on coaching, we did a show on using assessments and making sense of testing, we did a show on hiring, just a litany of different topics that we've covered to help your organization become more effective. As we're talking about finishing and getting it done and understanding the elements that go into a successful outcome, and one of the interesting things was is that one of the books I read called Flawless Execution, he speaks of the importance to recognizing to understand that you continue to have to go back and brief and debrief, and you have to continue to go back and evaluate what went wrong and where things are and where you're missing the mark at. But one of the things he talks about in the book is that in the Vietnam War, we fought over 1,000 engagements with the Viet Cong. And interestingly enough, we won over 90% of those battles. If you stop and think, if you're from the area, you understand this, that we had superior tactics and superior equipment and superior soldiers and superior technologies, but we lost the war. And understanding that if you take your eye off the vision, eye off the mission, and you don't continue to evaluate the mission, you won't make progress and you won't make gains and you won't get to where you're going. And one of the interesting examples that he gave of that was the U.S. Air Force. And that in 1947, since 1947, the U.S. Air Force has gone through rapid change. And for everything from jets being replaced, or piston engines being replaced by jet engines and better radar. But one of the things he points out was that in 1952, there were 1,200 airmen killed. And they attributed that to lack of training and a number of things that came into place. Well, as they began to look at what they called CRM, or crew resource management, they wanted to know how does a pilot or a flight crew assimilate it and the process that goes into the cockpit, and how does that then correlate between the pilot and the cockpit. So they did huge research on how the aircraft is designed and how cockpits are laid out and how people were trained. And so the training and the development of that resulted then by year 2002, they only lost 9 airmen in that. So when you look at making incremental gains and you look at some of the things that are really important for us to be able to execute at a higher level, one of the things that I think misses in the component piece of the whole strategic planning piece is that I don't believe that there's enough specific goals laid out. And one of the things that's out there is a thing called SMART goals. And some people have probably heard of these, but SMART goals stand for, it's an acronym, but S is for specific or simple. The M is for measurable or meaningful. The A is attainable or agreed to. The R is realistic, and the T is timely. So the question is, what would you do if you knew you couldn't fail? And so if you really had SMART goals that says, okay, if we've got a specific goal, what's the greater chance of being accomplished than just a general goal? And so a general goal then speaks to the fact of not having so many things in place per se. But specific goals then, such as get in shape versus join a health club and work out 3 times a week, or I'm going to lift weights versus I'm going to bench press 5 reps at 200 pounds by the end of December, gets us to specific identifiable goals. And one of the things that I've seen in organizations is in terms of why they don't execute and why every year you wind up finding yourself falling short is because I don't believe there's enough specific goals that are set out that are realistic goals and attainable. I think too many goals are kind of what I call the swag method versus the WAG method. The WAG method is a wild-ass guess. The swag method is a scientific wild-ass guess. But I think too many times businesses throw desire for 10% or 15% growth at the equation with no real understanding by the rank and file of how we're going to get there. And so if the goals aren't specific and measurable, we wind up being putting ourselves in a situation where people just really don't know what's going on. Well, I think the next thing is that we don't do a good enough job in the planning phase. And as we look at planning is a component piece where not enough emphasis is placed on, as we drive projects, not enough emphasis, I believe, is placed on utilization of Gantt charts and PERT charts, and also principles behind project management. So if our planning isn't as diligent as it needs to be, and our project management skills aren't what they ought to be, and our ability to then, use Gantt charts and PERT charts as a means of measuring where we're at, the planning or the planning mission then goes for naught. So the planning piece is critical to understanding that that has to be the next piece. Without consistent planning and then follow up to that plan and make sure we're doing things. But if in an effective planning process, the component pieces is it's got to be driven by understanding customers' needs. I mean, there's some basic fundamental principles that go into planning that make sure that we're on top and on target with things. So effective planning really must be driven by understanding customers' needs. It's got to balance with daily management and strategic initiatives. It's got to identify the few critical components to pay attention to. It's got to establish business performance measures. It needs to develop a detailed implementation plan with timelines and deadlines. It needs to identify ownership and accountability. It needs to conduct regular reviews of progress. And it's got to have a continually improving process of planning that comes back and circles back to on a quarterly basis to see where we're at. Without that, we wind up waiting till the end of the year to see how well we hit the mark. Well, really, the objective of mission planning then says, is that step one says we've got to determine the mission and the objectives. How are we going to get there? Two is we've got to identify the threats. Then we've got to identify the available resources. We've got to evaluate the lessons learned, determine the course of action, and we've got to plan for contingencies. And so one of the things that as we look at planning and contingencies, a question to ask yourself is, how many times have you had meetings where you've seen people attend them and you've seen people leave without firm conclusions about who should do what and when? Well, that's the element that gets lost in the world of business, and that is there's not enough use of the debrief, and that is what I like to call the postmortem. And that is, how do we go back and take account to all the things that go into place? Well, one of the things I mentioned to this one client that was looking at doing strategic planning, I said, you need a synchronization meeting. And he said, well, what do you mean by that? Well, here's what the Air Force does in terms of a synchronization meeting. The things they take into account in terms of evaluating a mission, if you will, is the takeoff time, airspeed, fuel limitations, weather limitations, air cover for the certain amount of time, distance issues, abort points, exact time over target windows, enemy encounters. All those things come out of your SWOT analysis. All those things come out of the auditing the process. All those things need to pay attention to. And if we don't monitor those things and we don't come back and debrief those things at the end of each session, we don't have time to make improvements or make the tweaks necessary. And so without some of the element pieces around planning, synchronization, debrief, the postmortem or the meeting after the meeting to find out where we went wrong, how we make improvements, and holding people accountable to that. Not so where people feel accountable that they might lose their job, but they recognize that there's a piece that they have to partake in. So this show has been dedicated to really the book, what I do in my practice, the last 14 shows that we've done, all around helping organizations get more effective at being able to have a higher set of deliverables and a greater degree of success and to finish and win at the end of the day. I'm your host, Rick Thiemann. It's been a pleasure over the last 15 weeks. If you want to check us out at the web, check us out at www.theeg.com or write me at rick@theeg.com, and we'll be able to answer your questions. If you'd like a copy of the book, please send me an email and tell me that you've been a listener, and I will send you a complimentary copy of the book. And you can download the shows off our website on the www.theeg.com. You can download all the shows to gain further insight and information into what we've tried to help organizations understand what they can do to be more effective in their business. So it's been a pleasure, and good luck to all of you.
Thank you again for tuning in to What's Leadership Got to Do with It? Please join your host, Rick Thiemann, again next Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 12 noon Central, and 10 a.m. Pacific on the Voice America Business Channel. Have a great week.